Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all people. Amen. I grew up in a family of four boys. Now I'm going to start somewhere else. Sorry. Take 2 minutes. Not 2 minutes. Take 20 seconds. I want to think for you to just picture in your mind what you hear or what you see in your head when you hear that phrase that you hear every Sunday in the Creed, and he ascended into heaven. He ascended into heaven. Just close your eyes, and I want you to picture an image of what that means for you. Hold on to that. I grew up in a family of four boys, and from oldest to youngest, we spanned 8 years. So you can imagine the chaos of our house from the time my littlest brother was about five or so. My mom worked full-time as a nurse. My dad was often away on business. Every one of us four boys was hyperactive, mobile, slightly crazy. Also pretty darn demanding, as kids can be. I think everyone who's ever had children knows what it's like when kids reach a certain age. And even if you're just an auntie or an uncle and you've not had that direct experience, God bless you because you know when to leave the house that has it. You know how nuts things can be. Everybody wanted something pretty much all of the time, it seemed like. My oldest brother would be headed in one direction, while my brother Ron and I needed to go to Pop Warner football, and the youngest one needed lunch, and nobody could find their shoes, which we seldom wore anyway. And torn in four directions all at once, my mom would say, "I cannot be two places at once." You've probably heard it or said it at least once in your life. This image of growing up is what came into my mind as I began to read and study the scripture for today. Jesus gathers his disciples in the last moments before his ascension, and he seems to be everywhere at once. Think of his story. His life ended abruptly on the cross and then continued just as abruptly in the resurrection. One moment he's with them in the upper room showing Thomas his hands and his side and eating broiled fish, and the next he is taken up into heaven. He is teacher, healer, wounded Messiah, the power of God, all in the same body and in the same moment. He's a gentle hand on the brow of a dying young girl. And moments from then, tossing the tables of the money changers. He challenges the status quo while of the religious establishment, while at the same time asking his disciples to pray to the same God as those he criticizes. He leaves his disciples and bids them and us to remain in him for the good of the world. He is a witness to the goodness of God, and at the same time, the goodness of God present in the flesh. It's as if Jesus is everywhere all at once. Something my mother and certainly none of us managed to achieve. Well, maybe that's the point, I think, of the ascension. Maybe that's what the Gospel of Luke is trying to get at, along with our reading from Ascension and from Ephesians and from Acts, to begin to help us have a different image of what this ascended Jesus might be like. So, just for fun, what picture came into your mind as you thought of the ascension of Jesus? Talk loud. Speak up. Be not afraid. It's an interactive church. Any images? Jesus on a cloud. A cloud elevator. Wow. I want one of those. Anybody else? Yeah. Jesus in a little Glinda bubble, as in the Wizard of Oz, right? Yeah. Very cool. Bright light and an overwhelming sense of beauty. Yeah, all fabulous images. I got stuck on my image in about the fourth grade because I was subjected to Augsburg Fortress Sunday school pictures. And the picture of the ascension in the Sunday school materials that I had was hippie Jesus, which Jesus always looks like a hippie from the 70s. So hippie Jesus in this posture, slowly rising from the ground with angels around him and the disciples going, I just can't get that out of my mind. Well, if that's all the ascension is, if it's Jesus on the elevator cloud, or I think really Mary's is probably the closest to a good theological sort of understanding of what the ascension is, but if we're left with Jesus leaving, then we're also stuck with a kind of common image of Jesus from the Creed of sitting at the right hand of God in the holy Barca lounger. Right? This Jesus, it's almost as if he is done with us now. And it's sort of like, you know, at the end of a hard day when you sort of go, and you go and get a cold drink and sit, you know, sit in the chair and watch I Love Lucy. You're done. And that's the problem, I think, with our vision of what the ascension is. It can lead us to think that Jesus is quite finished with us. That God is sort of just, well, we've tried all this, let's just see how they do with it. Right? But I think Jesus says some things to the disciples that we have to pay attention to. He says, do you remember that gift I said I would leave you? I'm going to leave that with you. And we know from the Gospel and from Acts that gift that God gives us is God's Spirit. The very vehicle of Jesus' ascension, that relationship that God has with us in its deepest and most powerful form, that's what's really at the core of the ascension. In Ephesians, we have a couple of different quotes. It says in the Gospel of Luke, and then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead, and on the third day, and repentance, forgiveness of sin, is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. That very Spirit left to the disciples on that day is the very Spirit that has been given to you. Paul calls you the body of Christ. It turns out that Jesus has not retreated to the heavenly Barca lounger, but that Jesus is present in God's Spirit and you and in this community and in the whole church and in the whole world. That's a much broader sense of how we can understand God than maybe, certainly, I was imbued with by Augsburg Fortress. You see, Jesus sets the stage in this gospel for how he will be everywhere at once. He's not seated on the magical throne watching from above as we scurry about organizing children's activities and shuffling from one committee to another. But he's the living, but we are the living body of Christ who fulfills all in all. One of the commentators that I read, and all of us, I've not met anyone who hates the ELCA slogan, which, by the way, was only supposed to be for 1 year. But being Lutheran, we liked it so much that we kept it. Not only that, when they tried to change it, there was kind of a minor scuffle. God's work, our hands. But this author said something that really made me think in terms of God's gift of the Spirit. He said, maybe we should change it to God's work, our work. God's work, our work. If we take seriously that we are the body of Christ and that we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, who else's work can it be? How else will peace come around? How else will the hungry be fed? How else will we all get along together and understand one another and trust one another's best intentions if we do not receive the Scripture and the Holy Spirit, which is our gift? As I look at the unfolding nature of the future, I want to be careful not to place Jesus too comfortably in his heavenly barca lounger. I don't want to give in to the temptation to want to hang out with Jesus up there watching everybody else do all the stuff. When I read this scripture, I want to live the adventure of the Spirit that God is calling me and you and all of God's people to live into more deeply. And to live more deeply in the ascension, which has little to do with going away and much to do with joining God's people together with God in living a full and abundant life. Well, my mom's children finally grew up. Well, physically. And toward the end of her life, she no longer had to be in more than one place at a time. Instead, as she grew less able to care for herself, her children and their families, grandchildren, spouses, gathered around her and became her hands and feet. And we were every place and everything and everywhere at once for her. And so we are called into a community of Christ everywhere, all at once, bound in the love of God, empowered in the Spirit, in just a wonderful, colorful rainbow and variety of gifts and talents and passions and hopes. And all of that gathered as the body of Christ in the power of the Spirit. Amen. Our worship continues with the hymn of the day, which number is in your bulletin.